Olivet Discourse, and we've been talking primarily about events that were to occur before the tribulation period that you see here on the screen, in what's known as the beginning of sorrows. Now, Luke lists two others that apparently are going to really start to be noticeable toward the very end of the beginning of sorrows, and particularly noticeable after you get into the tribulation period itself. So we're going to talk about the third question that Jesus asked. And remembering, as we look at this diagram, there was to come a period of time known as the beginning of sorrows, before the tribulation period, in which you would have famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. And all these, earthquakes, famines, and pestilences, were to be the beginning of sorrows that were to precede the tribulation period itself. And we had three questions asked in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, 1 through 3. And the questions were, when shall these things be? We've talked about that. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? The earthquakes, famines, and pestilences. And the last question, and of the end of the world. So this morning we're going to deal primarily with the question, and of the end of the world. Let me just very briefly mention some of the things that have to do with earthquakes, famines, and pestilences that are covered in Matthew and Mark. But notice in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke 21 and 11, he adds two things to these earthquakes, famines, and pestilences. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences. And here come the two things that apparently are going to be most noticeable at the beginning of the tribulation period. And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. At one time, I thought these fearful sights and great signs were part of the beginning of sorrow. But the more I've looked at these scriptures and considered that Matthew and Mark only listed earthquakes, famines, and pestilences as the beginning of sorrows, and did not mention fearful sights and great signs, I have gradually come to believe these may well be phenomena that will actually occur during the tribulation period rather than before it. Now, in 1967, you all know I found this old Reader's Digest Almanac book, and even before that, I knew the population would increase. So way back in 1967, you saw these predictions that were made of the population increases in 1970, 1980, 1990, and the year 2000. Well, they've been right on target. In 1990, they predicted to have 5,189,000,000. Actually, it was 5,333,000,000. For the year 2000, they predicted to have 6,129,000,000. And you know, last October in 1999, we passed over 6 billion people. So when I saw the famines that were predicted to increase, and I noticed they were beginning to increase back in 1970, and they were following the exact pattern, I said to myself, "Self, I wonder when the earthquakes are going to start." Well, the famines, as you know, global population reaches a milestone on October 12th. Earth's population will reach 6 billion. So that's happened. But I did not know exactly when the earthquakes would begin. This was the first set of earthquake statistics I ever received from the government. It was a KGRD 5 report from the Department of Commerce, National Technical Information Service Center, Springfield, Virginia. These were all recorded world earthquakes, 1934 through 1968. You can see how suddenly, between 1964 and 1968, they really began to increase like mad. So I knew the earthquakes probably started about 1967. I kept waiting for a pestilence. I did not know what it would be. I knew it would be a deadly infectious disorder. But I knew it had to start soon because the famines were going on track, the earthquakes were going on track, and sure enough, in 1980, the pestilence showed up. It was HIV, which was increasing like a woman's birth pain. Remember, the earthquakes, the famines, and the pestilences had to follow the pattern of a woman's birth pain. No one of those phenomena had ever done that in all of history. So in 1982, I put the pestilence in the lecture series as being HIV, which blossoms into AIDS. And sure enough, it was increasing like mad. So I have known for a very long time that these three phenomena are definitely indicators that Christ is coming soon. One of the things I had to fight against continually, and hope that I was right about the HIV, involved whether or not they would find a cure. I went out on a limb and said they would not find one. I did not believe at all. But if they did, it would take at least 15 years. I said this in 1982, and then it would be too late. Well, here it is, the year 2000, and they have not come any closer. As a matter of fact, they've discovered that HIV cannot be eradicated from the body August 28, 1999. HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, cannot be eradicated from a patient's body even when it is undetectable in the blood, according to a study released Saturday by the National Institutes of Health. So far, everything I've told on earthquakes, famine, and pestilences has been right on track. You have Africa AIDS killing field, September 16, 1999. AIDS, not war, has turned Africa into a killing field and will wipe out enough adults to create 13 million orphans in the next 18 months, the United Nations Children's Agency said Wednesday. Last year, AIDS killed 2 million Africans, outstripping deaths from armed conflicts on the continent 10 to 1, said the Children's Fund called UNICEF. In 15 years, AIDS has killed 11 million Africans. So you've seen a lot about these tectonic plates, you've seen a lot about the pestilence, and you've seen a lot about the earthquake statistics that you're now looking at on this screen. There is no question that all of these things are occurring, and in my mind, there is no question that the second coming of Christ is near. Nor is there any question in my mind that it is going to become more and more difficult to serve Christ. It is becoming more and more difficult. You're going to become more and more critical of one another. You're going to become more and more critical of the church and various things that have to do with it, because with the passage of time, the devil is growing stronger and stronger and stronger. And the only force that we have that we can live by and that we can grow by and that we can attain spiritual growth by is the living Spirit of God and the Word of God. This church is going to continue to undergo severe spiritual testing. There's no question in my mind about it. We're in the last days. I would like to have a nice, easy ride going along here until the Lord comes, but it just isn't going to happen. We're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for what we reap, for what we sowed, actually. And if you sow dissension, you sow unhappiness, you sow criticism, you sow all those things that are so capably possible within the confines of your flesh, and you do not grow spiritually, but instead continue to have attitudes that are wrong, and I certainly include myself in that attitude, in that case, you're not going to reap very much in heaven. I'm concerned primarily about the members of this church because I'm the pastor here. And I'm concerned about your spiritual growth because I think Galatians 6:9 makes something very clear. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You're going to be besieged more and more by having a critical spirit. The devil is going to do everything he can to get you to have a critical spirit toward the church, toward one another, toward your pastor, and you're going to see it evolve in your own life. You're going to find yourself saying things that you thought you'd never say. You're going to find yourself doing things and acting like you never dreamed you could. You better get ready for it, and you better be ready to put up a fight because it's coming. If we weren't in the last days, I wouldn't tell you this, and I wouldn't show you this, but we are. And the devil is not going to lay back and leave us alone and say, well, that's fine. They can do what they want serving God, and I'm just going to go hide in a cave and leave them alone. You're going to see more and more pressure put on this church and any other church that's trying to do it God's way. To be perfectly honest, God knows that my flesh would much rather just see this go on and everything go hunky-dory and really peachy-keen, but it's not going to work that way. Now, each one of you are going to individually make up your mind one way or the other. Are you going to serve God in this church? Are you going to love and worship God in this church? Are you going to love one another? Are you going to try by the Spirit of God to quench your critical spirit? Or are you going to let your critical spirit run rampage, and are you going to seek to find fault with everything? That spirit is not of you. It is not of God. It is of the devil, and you better learn to fight against it. There's coming a marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lord is going to select him a bride. And I guarantee you, when he selects him a bride, he's going to very carefully monitor what the individual church member actually thought of his body and the way they conducted it themselves toward it. God's going to judge you for your attitude. He's going to judge you for your opinion. He's going to judge you for your critical tongue. He's going to judge you for all the things that you've said behind the pastor's back, behind one another's back, and the critical spirit that you've possessed. Now, you can do one of two things. You can either continue to stay just like you are, having the same critical thoughts, the same critical tongue, the same critical attitude, looking for fault in others and in the church, individually and in the pastor, or you can grow up and start realizing that you're under a heavy bombardment of temptation and squench by God's Spirit that desire to be critical. It's up to you. No one can do it but you. God won't do it unless you let him help. But these things are coming, and you better get ready for them. Now, we're going to be dealing with the third question that he asked. The third question he asked was, and what shall be the sign of the end of the world? Two of the things that he mentioned specifically in answer to that question eventually are the fearful sights and great signs. We've covered the famine, we've covered the pestilence, we've covered the earthquakes. Now, these things are going to primarily be tribulation period events. Nevertheless, they are events where the actual circumstances are already in existence. We're talking about the Pinatubo eruption that occurred. This was a volcano that had laid dormant for a long time. This is one of the things that's going to be a fearful sight and a great sign. The words that are used for phobetrein simeon, for fearful sights and great signs, are words that literally mean something that when you look up in the heaven, it scares the fire out of you. And I guarantee you, had you been in the Philippines or had you been in Washington State when Mount St. Helens went off and when Mount Pinatubo went off in the Philippines, then you would have actually have seen these fearful sights in heaven. The blast, the Pinatubo eruption in the Philippines, which has been equated with 2,000 to 3,000 Hiroshima bombs, blew millions of tons of sulfur dioxide, dust, debris, and ash miles of the atmosphere. And much of what went up won't come down for 3 or 4 years. All the burning oil wells in Kuwait don't hold a candle to it in terms of environmental impact. These tremendous volcanic eruptions, as you can see here, when a person looks up in the heavens, it is a phobetron. It is a fearful sight, a horrifying thing that would make one want to run, what is the basic definition of the Greek word for fearful sight. Under a cloud, the most serious long-term effect of the cloud, Pinatubo, is likely to be increased destruction of the ozone layer. The aerosol particles in Pinatubo's cloud cause the chlorine from man-made chlorofluorocarbons to become more reactive. Within the cloud from El Chicano's eruption, that was another volcano that went off in Mexico, ozone was depleted by 10 to 15%. Now, we've been having more and more and more of these volcanic eruptions. After lying dormant for more than 600 years, Pinatubo let loose with a load of debris. It is estimated to be 2 to 3 times that from Mexico's El Chicán eruption in 1982. El Chicán, the biggest eruption in 50 years, blew out at least 6 million tons of dust and gas. During the tribulation period, and particularly from here on out, they're going to be gradually increasing. You know that I believe man will not destroy himself with atomic weaponry, but God will destroy man with the earth. During the tribulation period, and what shall be the end of the world, the end of the age, fearful sights and great signs, the answer to the third question. You're going to see thousands of volcanic eruptions along all these red lines. These red lines go down through the earth's crust and make contact with underground liquid lakes of rock called magma. Whenever these plates move and shift, they release pressure in the upper part of the crust, and bam, up comes a tremendous volcanic eruption. You're going to see all hell break loose in the tribulation period. You're going to see things like this. Life magazine, when the big one hits, it will have the power of 1 million atomic bombs. It will be heard 1,000 miles away. It could happen sooner than you think. Volcano, the cover of Life magazine. You're going to see thousands of these all over the earth. They are literally the largest contributors of the fearful sights and great signs, which is the answer to the third question, and what shall be the sign of the end of the age. If you take these statistics from the Volcanoes of the World, Geoscience Press, Reported Numerics, Courtesy of Science, Volume 264. From 1798 to 1848, in that 50-year period, there were 22 average volcanic eruptions per year. During each year, during that time, from 1798 to 1848, average number per year of eruptions were 22. That's an average of about 1+ per month. From 1848 to 1898, the next 50-year period, during that time, each year averaged about 33 volcanic eruptions. That's 2+ per month. From 1898 to 1948, when Israel became a nation, the next 50-year period, there were an average of 43 volcanic eruptions per year in that time period. That's 3+ per month. From 1948 to 1994, in that 46-year period, there were an average of 57 volcanic eruptions per year. That's 4+ per month. From 1967, when Mashadon and the Israeli troops stormed the Temple Mount and took it back for the first time in almost 1,900 years, from 1967 to the year 2000, 33 years, the average has been 60+. That's 5+ eruptions per month. 60+ per year, 5+ eruptions per month. I think God's trying to get our attention. Revelation 21:11 and Revelation 6:12b. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and earthquakes. Now, these three are already occurring, but the fearful sights and great signs are really going to be intensified during the tribulation period. We find in Revelation 6:12b the scripture that indicates when the first massive shifting of these plates began toward the middle of the tribulation period. From there on, all hell is going to break loose. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. It took on a blood-red color. Every volcanic eruption that has ever occurred has been accompanied by earthquake activity. They are associated with the movement of these plates. This comes from the U.S. Department of Commerce, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, moderate to very large explosive eruptions in five-year increments for the period 1988 to 1998. These are moderate to very large explosive volcanic eruptions. From 1988 to 1993, there were 42 moderate to very large explosive eruptions. But from 1993 to 1998, the next period, it increased to 71 moderate to very large explosive eruptions. If you include the small explosive eruptions in that total, all eruptions, from 1988 to 1993, there were 58 volcanic explosive eruptions. But from 1993 to 1998, they had increased to 112 volcanic eruptions. So you can see that the volcanic eruptions are definitely increasing. The fearful sights and great signs are becoming more numerous. Volcanoes to watch out for. These decade volcanoes were named as worthy of further study by the International Association of Volcanology and Chemistry of the Earth's interior in cooperation with the United Nations International Decade for Natural Disaster Reduction. Listed in alphabetical order, all are near heavily populated areas. Colima in Mexico, Etna in Sicily, Galera in Colombia, Mauna Loa, Hawaii, Merapi, Indonesia, Mount Rainier near Seattle, Washington, Maragogo in Zaire, Sakurajima, Japan, Santa Maria, Guatemala, Santoria, Greek Island, Taal in the Philippines, Tede in Spain, Ulloa, New Guinea, Unzen, Japan, and Vesuvius in Italy. All these are definitely on the increase, and you're going to see more and more of this. During the tribulation period, you're going to see the ozone layer destroyed, because volcanic eruptions are basically what are going to destroy the ozone layer itself. We were told that it was due to aerosol spray, different types of refrigerants released into the atmosphere by man. I have clearly refuted this and shown you it is not true. We did away with all this long ago, and yet I want you to notice how the ozone layer has continued to grow. This is from the NASA data, growth of the ozone hole, average size in square kilometers. We did away with all of this back in the 80s, and yet the hole continues to expand. 1979, the average size in square kilometers of the ozone hole over the Antarctic was 2.5 million square kilometers. 1984, it was 6.0 million square kilometers. 1989, 9.5 million square kilometers. 1994, 23.5 million square kilometers. 1999, 25.0 million square kilometers. So when you talk about great earthquakes being in diverse places and famines and pestilences, you have to understand that eventually these fearful sights and great signs coming from heaven, the volcanic eruptions, are going to create a situation where the ozone layer will be destroyed during the tribulation period. There will be noisome, grievous boils and sores breaking out on the skin surface of human beings on this planet. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. This is a phenomenon that will be caused and produced by volcanic eruptions, which are the fearful sights and the great signs in the heavens. Revelation 6:12, and I beheld, and it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Nahum 1, the mountains quake at him. Nahum 1 and 5, the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by. This is a prediction of the tribulation period. It is what Jesus said would be occurring as fearful sights and great signs in the heavens, and all of these things, I believe, are on the verge of happening. When this happens, you're going to find a whole lot of people absolutely and totally and utterly flabbergasted. They will not believe such a horrible thing could happen. The same thing was true back during the time of the flood. In Genesis 6:13, after God had warned through Noah, preaching all those years to a generation that would not believe him, that the end was coming, they ridiculed him. They laughed at him. They thought he was a crazy old man. Who could possibly believe that the whole earth would be flooded? The way that God did it is very interesting. Genesis 6:13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence to them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God moved these massive tectonic plates, and the meteoric water that had been stored at the base of them was brought up to the surface in great springs. It flooded the entire earth exactly as God said. God used the earth to fulfill his own prophecy by his own power. in the Hebrew language, which you see on this screen, in which it was written, you read it from left to right. He said, I will destroy them along with the earth. He took the earth, he used the earth to flood the earth, and he's going to do the same thing during the tribulation period. I'll use this scripture, then I'll close, and Lord willing, I'll finish this next Sunday. Luke 17:29. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. God warned Sodom and Gomorrah. He warned them through Lot. They would not listen. And on a certain day, a certain man named Lot went out of a certain place called Sodom, and it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. On a certain day, at a certain time, a certain man is going to return. And it's going to be the same all over the earth when that man returns. Continuing in Luke 17:30, even thus shall it be. Even thus shall it be, those five words in English are in the original Koine Greek language in which that was written, mean exactly the same thing. Even thus shall it be. It's going to be raining fire and brimstone from heaven in a day, a certain day. In the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven. Verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ. The word revealed is apocalypsis. It means to be completely exposed. It is not referring to the time that he catches out the saints at the rapture. It is referring to the time when he comes back and is fully exposed to every eye that shall see him with all the saints. You talk about fearful sights and great signs. They're going to be here. They're going to be real, and they're going to be genuine. So Lord willing, next Sunday, I'll take off from these very scriptures here, and I'll cover specifically on a couple of sheets just some of the fearful sights and great signs that will be occurring during the tribulation period. So for now, it's 9:15, and we'll give you all a little break before preaching.